Right now, it's time for Oh, the Humanities, taking a look at humanities scholarship research and events on the UNC campus. Joining us today, filling in for Max Orr, Rachel Shavitz from Carolina Public Humanities. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing good. So what are, okay, first of all, before we get to what are we talking about today, what is the university doing right now to get ready for the storm?
Same as the
rest of us. It's
got to
be my question for everyone.
Yeah, I think, like, if you look at the UNC emails, the Town of Chapel Hill emails, everybody is doing the same thing, which is keeping a really close eye on things, saying, please stay on in touch with us, follow us on Twitter, you know, keep your eyes on it. But everyone is just trying to prepare and make sure that everyone knows what's happening in the event that things go crazy.
Yeah.
Ideally not.
Ideally not, right? So when are we going to know, I guess, when are we going to know more about, like, what the specific plan is? I know we can't make specific plans right now because we don't know what the track is. Maybe Wednesday or...
Probably. Yeah. And I think a lot of these plans exist, right?
Yes,
so it's
yeah.
sort of like we've had storms before, whether they're ice storms or hurricanes or rainstorms or whatever. We have folks who are trained, plans in place, and it's just which one are we going to put into place depending on what the situation should require.
All right, so that's this week and weekend and possibly into next week, and then after that,
back to
the grind with Carolina Public Humanities doing a really cool seminar later on this month.
That's
so
right.
Let's talk about that.
Well, I mean, it presumes that we will get to that
yes.
place, so I'm sticking to my guns there that we're going to get there.
It's very optimistic,
yeah,
right? Like
that's
how I
roll.
every time I hear UNC, like UNC football will release a press release saying we've agreed to play this team in a home and home in 2031 and 2032. Like, that is so nice to hear.
That's
that we're
right.
planning that far
no,
ahead.
No, and we all plan to be here and doing what we're doing at that time. So same with Carolina Public Humanities. We assume we will get through the storm, and on the far side of it, we will have a seminar called The World of Tomorrow, Benefits, Risks, and Challenges. And similarly, this particular event is very optimistic. So it's not all doom and gloom about terrible things on our horizon, but really looking at what are some of the challenges and then talking about actual things we can do and things that are being done by researchers and scholars that are positive.
Awesome.
So I like that.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And several speakers, including Alicia Davis,
who is
a genetic counselor and clinical instructor in the obstetrics and gynecology department at UNC. And she joins us here in the studio right now. Good to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
So this is a really cool seminar for Carolina Public Humanities because you're an OBGYN. You've got an engineer and you've got a professor of environment and ecology. So this is bringing in the entire university in all of the fields outside of the humanities typically to talk about humanities scholarship. So what is the day going to entail? How does all of that get brought together?
So awesome question. I think what we try to do a lot of times is look at some of these more STEM focused fields like we've got on our panel this time around and talk about the ways that the humanities can engage with those topics. So what are the ethics of genetics? What are some of the far-reaching philosophical implications of some of this research into the environment or into genetics or into robotics? What does it mean for the human condition if we all get replaced by robots doing all of our jobs in 55 years, whatever? So while, yes, our panel is filled with folks who aren't necessarily humanists in the traditional sense, where we have philosophy and literature and the arts, the ways that we're engaging with their topics and their fields are very much still thinking about how this deals with the humanities and how the humanities inform the work that they're doing.
So, Alicia, your talk is going to be on the Wild West of genetic information.
Exactly.
And what is, I can kind of get a picture of that, but what is that going to entail?
So I'll be casting a broad net. I'll be speaking mostly about reproductive genetics, which is my field. So that includes what we can do with prenatal testing for pregnancy or for families who are considering a pregnancy. But we'll also, of course, talk about some hot topics like CRISPR and gene editing and gene therapies. And I'm going to touch a little bit on history of sort of where are we coming from in our understanding of genetics now and what missteps has society made in the past in our rudimentary understanding of how inheritance worked 50 years ago.
That's actually a really good kind of perspective to look at this, because I think a lot of people think about these issues now to the extent that we do, and we think, oh, we're in a whole new world and all of these are brand new questions, but they're new iterations on questions that we've asked before, right? With when old technologies were new in the past. So what were some of those missteps that we've made?
Well, one of the topics that I'll be discussing is the eugenics policy in America, which was, I think, much more catastrophic than people think. It's not commonly in our textbooks in high school. So I'll be discussing how theories of how things were inherited translated to policy and were acted on by our government. And I'll be specifically talking about what happened in North Carolina and how that affected human lives, and so how we're trying to be mindful of that history in what we do today.
And how that affected lives for the better part of the 20th century, right? That went on until 1974, am I right about that? Yeah,
it's
unbelievably long.
Longer than people think.
Yeah, speaking with Alicia Davis and Rachel Shavitz, talking about the seminar that's going to be on September 29th, which is 2 weeks from Saturday, as part of Carolina Public Humanities. Humanities.unc.edu is the website. The seminar is called The World of Tomorrow. And when you say the Wild West of Genetic Information, I'm assuming kind of the idea there is that we're still in the stage where we haven't established what the clear rules are yet.
Exactly. Yeah. There's not a lot of oversight or policy or rules about what can and cannot be done in genetic research and also in what's marketed to consumers. So right now we're in a very strange part of genetics where this is truly becoming a consumer-driven business. And so when we think about companies like 23andMe and Ancestry.com that are marketing genetic testing to consumers with no involvement of a physician or genetic counselor, can become really interesting, and the interpretation and the sort of management of disease with these types of tests.
Is this something we should be worried about or optimistic about or both simultaneously?
Both.
Okay.
For sure. Yes.
over to Rachel Shavitz. Other people on the panel, who's going to be speaking?
Sure. So we've got Greg Ganji, who we're bringing back. He's worked with us before. He is an associate professor of environment and ecology. And so I asked him, I commissioned a talk from him because I've had him do work with us in the past. And I know that he's got a really interesting way of blending the scholarship of sustainability and technology with real basic on the ground things that you and I can do every day right here in Chapel Hill to contribute to a cleaner, better future. And so I've asked him to talk about the global energy transition. I'm so interested in what are other countries doing better? What are other cities in this country doing better than we are here? And how can he give us tips as citizens and residents? And how can he give me tips that I can bring back to our local government about things that we can all be doing to get us to a better, more sustainable energy, clean energy future? And then our third speaker of the day, we're also bringing back for another sort of encore presentation. His name is actually Dr. Brain, Marshall Brain from North Carolina State. And he...
you've got to be a scientist if you're...
You better
your name
be.
Is Marshall
I mean,
Brain.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I don't know what other options you have career-wise. He does a lot on artificial intelligence and robotics and thinking about how they interact with our labor markets. And so what are things that used to be done by humans 50 years ago that now machines are doing? What's looking into the future, jobs that will be potentially replaced by other mechanized things, computers, robots, whatever, and how we can think about changing our education system, changing what is important for humans to be learning. If some of these jobs are going to be automated, what are the jobs that probably can never be automated, and should we be focusing our education policies and things in that direction? So super, super interesting. All three very different, but all thinking about the Wild West in each of their fields, right? We don't really know what's coming down the pike with genetics. Well, maybe Alicia does, but regular folks don't.
You'll find out on Saturday the 29th.
Exactly. Yeah. And same with solar and some of these other green technologies, and same with automation. I think we're all really interested in these topics in the future and want to hear from the very best about what's coming up.
Awesome. And you mentioned up at the top that we can talk about the ethics of genetics and the ethics of robotics and things like that. We can also, I guess, flip it around and talk about the genetics of ethics and the robotics of ethics too, right? And what are all of these developments, what do all of these new developments mean for the questions that we've been asking ourselves for thousands of years? Do they change the answers?
Yeah, absolutely. Those are, and how it works with these seminars is we have the three talks, but then we leave a whole hour at the end of the day for a panel where we'll have all three of our scholars sitting side by side, fielding questions, and really hopefully engaging the entire group in a conversation about these very questions, the ethics and the future, both sort of from a humanistic perspective, but also from their particular fields. Hello, I'm interested in my ancestry. What do you recommend? You know, and so getting at some of those tricky questions, we like to provide an opportunity for people to actually engage with our scholars and have a chance to ask them those questions if they have them.
Other things that people want to know about this upcoming seminar, other things on the calendar that people want to know about?
Oh, gosh, we have lots of great stuff coming up on the calendar, of course. I think this one is a particularly interesting seminar that I hope people get a chance to come to because it is, just as you suggested at the beginning, a really interesting blending of the science, the technology, the engineering, biology and chemistry and all of those sorts of things with the humanities. And often we are doing the more traditional humanities type of work, and this is a really interesting blend that I think may hopefully get people excited and interested about checking out some of the stuff that we're doing over at Carolina Public Humanities.
And I'll give Alicia Davis the last word.
Please do.
What should people know about your field, about these very important ethical questions that maybe people don't know or people have misconceptions about the way it's being discussed?
That's a great question. I think that the biggest misconception about what I do for a living is that my role is to create designer babies and to weed out disability and difference in society. And my role is sort of very much split into an intimate understanding of medical genetics and as sort of the person to jump off these questions with. So some of these humanitarian questions that are very important, because we can, should we? How do my beliefs and values affect the decisions that I make about my family planning? And so I really encourage people to come to the table with an open mind when we're discussing genetic testing, because everybody behind closed doors makes a completely different decision, and usually that decision is discordant from what they thought they were going to do when they walked in. So it can be a fascinating process.
It's called The World of Tomorrow, Benefits, Risks, and Challenges. Saturday, September 29th, 9 to 4, humanities.unc.edu for more information about that and all of the other programs that Carolina Public Humanities has coming up. Rachel Shavitz, Alicia Davis, thank you so much.
Thank you, Aaron.
Thanks for having us.